So, you know, the last couple weeks, Ryan's been speaking on the topic of prayer and family devotions and all kinds of stuff like that. Well, it was really cool, as I sat over there last week, because at that very moment, I knew how God was working in Crossroads Church, because it was really cool because his message flowed perfect with what I'm talking about today. And I sat over there and was getting all kinds of God bumps and everything, and it was really, really cool. So, and also the song that they played during snack time or greeting time was When Everything Falls Apart, and that fit perfect too. And I don't know if that was planned, but it's just like a God thing, that because what I'm talking about today is how to handle a crisis situation as Christians. Okay, so when I worked for the Department of Corrections, and there we go, the Department of Corrections for Pennsylvania, when I was in the academy, some of the most intense training that they gave us was how to handle a crisis situation, what to do when you as a correction officer get in a situation that's too much for you to handle, and how to de-escalate it step by step by step. How to control the situation and not let the situation control you. And I was thinking that's really cool because as Christians, we can also apply this to our lives, how to handle a crisis situation, what to do step by step. So we're going to go through a little CO training, which normally stands for corrections officer, but we're going to call it Christian obstacles, okay? As COs, as Christians, and the obstacles we want to avoid and how to handle them step by step as we go through them. So this brings us to our first step. As a correction officer, the first thing you're supposed to do in a crisis situation is call for backup. As a Christian, whenever we go through a crisis situation, can anybody guess what the first thing we should do is? Call for backup. Pray. Ask God for help. Are you guys cheating? Were you looking at that? You were. Okay. That's all right. I'm used to that. The youth group does the same thing. All right. So this brings us to our verse for today. Is it working or am I doing? No. Okay. Andy. There you go. It was working earlier, but now it's not. You got it? Thank you. All right. If you want to turn in your Bibles, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, this is a very popular verse and somewhat overused, but we're going to break it down and talk about it today and some things, some main points about it. It's, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will direct your path. Okay, so we are supposed to trust in God, lean in God, and submit to his ways and his promises. Ha, that's cool. It's a new toy, I'm sorry. First of all, trust. The word trust is found in the King James Version 134 times. So we are obviously really supposed to trust in God and his promises. The definition for trust is to be asserting of the mind and integrity and veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principles of another person's confidence and reliance. Now, did I go too fast when I said that? Because Tanya says sometimes I talk really fast. You have it on there? Sweet. Now, if you look at that, that is really intense because apply that to God and your faith and read that, and it really makes a lot of sense. Trust in the Hebrew is, help me with this, Ryan, if I say it wrong. He was trying to get me to say this right, and Mike Brown. Batach? Batach. Okay. That, I don't know Hebrew. He does. Okay, it is used in the Old Testament two different ways. The first way is the literal form, which is to actually physically lean on something. Like, if you lean on a fence and it holds you up, you're trusting that it's not going to fall through. And also in the figurative way, which is to rely upon someone for their protection. Now, in the scripture that we read, that is what they're saying, that you are supposed to trust in God for his protection and also lean on him. Okay, the third thing we should do as Christians when we are in a crisis situation, as we read, when you trust God and lean on him, you're actually doing the same principle. You're not supposed to lean on your own understanding. Don't trust your own understanding of why you're going through this crisis situation. Trust in God that he's going to see you through, because he already knows the outcome. You might think you know what's coming. You might plan on what the outcome's going to be. But trust in God and lean on him, because he already knows the outcome. He already has a plan for your life. It's up to you to apply his promises and his faith, and your faith to his promises. Now, I'm not saying that this is all going to come easy. This is a very learned behavior. It's like I said before, it's step by step. You have to learn to apply it to your life. It just doesn't come naturally, okay? But lean is a verb. It means to rest against something for its support. So when you're leaning on God for his support and understanding him, to trust him and his knowledge of what the outcome is going to be, okay? Trusting in one's own understanding is like leaning against a support that can't hold your weight. It doesn't make sense, okay? Because you're going to fall flat on your face. Okay, and now I have a beautiful volunteer who's going to come forward. Not you, Dave, sorry. You are beautiful, sir. You are. Where is Fred Giles? Uh-oh, here we go. This might not be the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. Okay? We all see what the next one is, right? I am going to let Fred demonstrate on me what it means to submit.
Get him, Fred. I promise I would not.
Can we please pray? Fred asked me if I want to fall asleep when I ask him to do this to me, and I said, well, I have to finish the rest of the message. It depends on how many people in the audience are sleeping at this point. Maybe I will, but you're all still awake, so we'll go ahead and, okay.
Well, there are different submissions, okay, but to submit.
I know this one. This is
a
goose
knows net. This one.
Yes.
Okay, you can't go too far.
No.
You're going to go with me everywhere I go.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what, right? But
that was very gentle, thank you. Oh boy.
Coming around like this, okay? It cuts the air off.
And he has and no, my microphone.
And the microphone. But he has no choice to do what one thing is, submit or take a nap. Okay?
Not yet.
You want to take a nap? Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so let me readjust here. Okay, to submit to something, don't submit to the situation. Submit to your faith in God and totally trust him. Okay, when I tapped, I was trusting that he was going to let go. All right? So the Hebrew for submit means to stamp out oneself, which if I wouldn't have submitted, he would have ended up stamping me out. All right. Humble oneself to trample down. In other words, only call for backup. Don't only call for backup, but totally give it off to a higher authority. Okay? Give the situation to God. Don't rely on yourself. Totally submit everything to God. Sell out to him. We as Christians go through hardships and try to handle them ourselves, and we don't give it all to God. We rely on ourselves too much, okay? We, as Americans, are a very spoiled people, okay? If you think about people in other countries that can't meet and are persecuted every day for their faith, they totally rely on God. We, as Christians in America, totally don't get it sometimes. We rely on ourselves and rely on other people around us. We need to turn everything over to God. Christianity is not a faith of prosperity, as we in America are being taught, and as Ryan talked about last week, it's going to other countries. The only thing that's supposed to prosper in the Christian faith is the one inside of us. Okay? We're supposed to build him up, not him build us up. So that is total submission. Whenever you bring him in and build him up, and don't expect him to build you up. He will build you up, but don't expect him to put a Ferrari in your front yard or give you a mansion on a hill. That's not what this faith is about. Okay? There are two types of crises that we can go through. One is by one's own choices, which unfortunately seems to be my favorite one. Also, by outside forces. What I'm talking about with outside forces is like the earthquake in Haiti recently, okay? But they pretty much parallel each other with the response that you can give to them. They're almost exactly the same, actually. By one's own choice, whenever you mess up and make wrong choices, one of the first things you should do is call for backup. Pray to God and ask him for forgiveness and guidance and how you should get through it. Also, on the other side, by outside forces, prayer and fasting for an answer of how you can handle it and how you can get through it. Number two, for own choices, total submission. Submit to God and as you're praying and tell him, you know, I'm giving this over to you. Obviously, I've made the wrong choices. You can lead and guide me in this and show me the way out. Trust and faith on the other side and God's promises. God does not want to see his people suffer. Okay? That's not his plan for our lives. So if you trust in his promises, as we are going to read on here in some scripture as it's coming up, he will see you through the other side. Holy living for the first side. As Christians, we live in a fishbowl a lot, and people watch us. And if people know that we're going through something and we're not living a holy life, they're going to watch what we do, watch the steps that we make. Something's flying around my face. They're going to observe how we handle different situations, okay? So we want to live a holy life to show not only the people around us, but to show God that we appreciate him and what he's doing for us. Faithful living on side two, that is trusting in God's promises and living a holy life out of faith to show God that we believe his promises and that we trust that he's going to see us through the crisis that we're going through. And then for both of them at the bottom is devotional study. Just dig into his word and read his promises so we know how to live the holy life and the promises that he's giving us and totally submit to him. That is part of the submission, is devotional study. As we read on, I got some scriptures here to back up what I'm saying. John 14:1. Did it pop up there? No. There we go. Okay. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this is the night before he went to his crucifixion, and he was talking to his disciples and trying to comfort them because he knew the crisis that they were about to endure. They were going to see the man that they walked around with for the last 3 years, who is their Savior, who is their God, and they honestly believe that he is, because they've seen everything that he did. And he's going to be in the most human form in just less than 24 hours that they've ever seen him in. And he knew how they were going to be persecuted, as Peter was, and whenever they were asking, you know, do you know this guy? And he was trying to prepare them, because I'm sure he knew, well, he did know Peter was going to deny him, because he told Peter he was going to deny him. But he looked at them, and this is amazing to me, what he said. He looked at them and said, don't let your hearts be troubled, okay? Stay strong. Don't panic. I've already told you the outcome of what's coming. I am your champion. I'm going to win in the end. No matter what you see that I'm going to be going through, no matter how horrible it's going to be, I am going to win. And I relate this to, and this is pretty lame if you think about it, but it's also true. As you watch a movie, and you already know the outcome because you already seen the movie, whenever your hero and your champion in your movie is being beat up or pummeled, think of Rocky. How many here have seen all the Rocky movies? Okay? How many have watched them more than once? How many times is Rocky getting his butt kicked over and over? And you've already seen the movie, and you know at the end, he wins, right? But while he's getting beat, you're there feeling horrible for him and rooting him on. But you already know at the end, he's going to get the belt, right? This is how Jesus told his disciples, you know, I'm going to be the victor. We are going to win. But they still left their hearts be troubled, okay? So Jesus is telling us, stay strong. Don't let your hearts be troubled. No matter what the situation or the crisis, I will see you through, okay? And like I said before, it's a learned behavior. It's not something that comes easy. Okay, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Don't only rejoice in God when things are going good. Don't only rely on him when things are going bad. Okay? Rejoice in him always. Because when things are going good, sooner or later, they're going to end up going bad. And if you rely on him when they're going good, the bad might not seem so bad. Okay? If you're always joyful, things are going to not seem so bad. Because why? We always win in the end. Okay? God will see us through. Philippians, Philippians 4:11 through 13. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be needy. I know what it is to have plenty. I know I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Okay? God is our strength. God is our rock. Okay? You can rely on him, you can lean on him, and you can trust him. And you need to submit to him. If you want to know where your strength comes from, just lean on him and submit to his ways and trust him. And he will see you through.